tweet at TodaySOR.
Our four-legged listeners may want to listen closely to our next item. Four-legged listeners with a waggly tail, that is. And maybe the owners might cock an ear as well, so to speak. Dr. Shane Bergen, physicist from UCD's School of Education, is with me now. And you got to tell me about the science to explain the behaviour of dogs. I mean, there's quite a topic. I mean, what are dogs and how different are they, Shane, from wild creatures like wolves?
I should give the caveat, Sean, that feline listeners may find this interview somewhat disturbing.
It's okay, we have a helpline for them later.
So yes, you've asked me about dogs, and dogs basically, they stem from domesticated wolves. We all know that story. So around the time of the Ice Age or before it, humans started to cohabit with dogs. We probably did this for hunting purposes. Dogs, like humans, are social creatures, and so they like to live in our packs. It's amazing to think when you look at the nature of wolves and out in the wild today that early man was able to take a creature like that and work with it and socialise it so that they could trust it to go from being the wolf at the door to man or woman's best friend.
And dogs are part of, I think it's called the Canidae family. Where did that word come from and what other animals belong?
Well, you think of the term canine, right? So I suppose it's the Latin root of the word for dog, and there are plenty of other creatures that are out there today, from the hunting dogs in Africa, from foxes, which seem to be everywhere in the urban settings at the moment. They're doing very, very well. There was one when I worked in my last job in Trinity, where I used to see the fox coming out and sitting in front of the School of Physics building. He'd sit there quite happily, even let people go over to him. Most unusual for a creature like that. So we've wolves and dogs and other creatures on every continent, bar Antarctica. Dogs have done very well. And people who tell me about trips on safari to Africa say there's nothing like a pack of dogs to devour an entire carcass of an animal. Like no other creature will consume it with the same sort of vigorous rate.
And a lot of these animals would share similar traits, like the practice of marking their territories with scent to establish control.
Hugely territorial, and you see this sort of antics when you bring your own dog for a walk, especially if it's a route where there are many other dogs along the way, and they'll continue to urinate on different pitter boxes and corners, scratching the ground perhaps after they defecate, which is a way to show visual signs for their dogs that they are there and this is my patch.
And how do dogs communicate? I mean, is it all about the bark?
The bark is huge. They howl as well. The old legend is the dogs will howl at the moon. Of course, they're not actually trying to communicate with the moon, but rather they're letting other packs of dogs know where they are. The last thing a pack would want to do is sort of encroach on another pack's territory. And we see this behaviour still with your Jack Russell or your Golden Retriever at home. Like if someone dares to come into the home. An interesting one actually for you. Why is it the postman always gets the runaround with the dog? And some dog psychologists have done a study on this. And the reason is it's reinforcing behaviour for the dog. Every time the postman arrives, he or she puts the letter through the door, the dog goes berserk, and the postman leaves. So the dog thinks, if I bark, they go. Whereas the neighbour who comes in and sits in the house and pets the dog, it's a very different sort of reaction. So the dog has learned this behaviour. I don't like the look of this person coming in who's bringing the letters, probably Bill's. And they've learned that when they bark, they go.
Yeah, now, you tell us, I think it's a myth to think that domesticated dogs are colourblind. They can only see black and white.
That's right. So dogs, in fact, are red-green colourblind. So if anyone has a ball for their dog, I'm just thinking for our own dog, she does have a ball, a red ball, it's virtually impossible for them to differentiate the colour of that on the green grass. So they can't distinguish between the two colours. This is because hunting dogs would hunt early in the morning or late in the evening when the wide variety of colour in their sight wouldn't be needed for them to track and to catch their prey.
Yeah, and tell me about the study, Shane, carried out into dog behaviour just a couple of years ago. It came up with some very interesting findings about dogs and their efforts to communicate with us humans.
Yeah, dogs must be one of the creatures that receive the most amount of attention from scientists. And I guess it's because a lot of us have them and we're very interested in how they behave as social creatures. And you know that there's a couple of studies that have been done. One is the old puppy dog eyes, right? Why is it that we find puppies incredibly cute? Somebody did a survey on this, and they showed people a lot of photographs of puppies, and they asked them, at what stage are they cutest? People were clicking with their mouses to say this dog is cuter than that dog. And they're able to show that puppies are at their cutest around 8 to 10 weeks, which is the time when we get them from their mothers. And so it's the time in their lives when they're most vulnerable and they need the human to care for them the most. So the question is that cuteness deliberate so that you will care for them?
Yeah, and
there was another one, wasn't there, about the tilt of the dog's head, right? You know, this thing where the dog is looking at you and it seems to know when you've had a bad day. So dogs are social, and so they do respond to when you are upset, or they are trying to communicate with you beyond just expressing their own emotions. So they're trying to figure out what's going on between you and them. Now, dogs cannot understand language. People think, you know, the dog knows. Dogs are habitual, so the dogs will know at certain times of the day certain things usually happen. And so people who say the dog is always sitting up at the gate waiting for the child, that's because the dog has this daily rhythm. That's fine. But there's other things that people would say, you know, the dog knows when we're talking about them. They don't.
I see. Again, the question of the dog and owning a dog and having, I suppose maybe it applies to other pets as well, its effect on human health.
Huge effects. From dogs that are able to sniff out diseases like malaria, prostate cancer, Parkinson's disease, diabetes, breast cancer, and it predicts seizures. They can do all of those things. But then there is the other stuff where you can have assistive dogs. Children with autism now, a lot of them will have a dog, and the dog is there as a sort of able to distract the child if it gets upset, is able to diffuse difficult transitions into new areas because the dog is with them, their companion, and they aid communication for the dog. I've often heard of people saying children who don't speak would speak for the first time to their dog.
Can they feel the distress of the owner?
Yes, and so there has been a study done where it showed when people were saying help and they were pretending to cry, that the dogs responded quicker and would want to come to their owner, showing them comfort.
Shane, it's fascinating stuff. Thank you so much indeed for coming in. Dr. Shane Bergen, physicist from University College Dublin.